How many people have your Bibles today? You have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Amen. You may be seated. I tell you, the children that were just up here, we have to be really intentional to be able to gear their minds to keep on keeping on. A lot of times today, I feel like our society is conditioning all these young people to give up if this is just not handed to them. And so what we do is we create a generation that gives up easily when it's not laid out right in front of them. And when those people give up easily, then what's left is the responsibility for all the people that have not given up to continue to support those that choose to give up. And the complacency of a society even can ruin a generation to come. But in a Christian sense, this is a true problem. Because there are things that happen in our life that are crisis to us, like we talked about last week. And there are so many times in life that we face hardships. We face hardships in our lives that cause us to just want to give up. We feel like we have no strength at that point to keep going. And last time, you remember, we talked about crisis and we talked about Jacob. When all those things had happened to Jacob, none of them his fault, but they just kept piling on and piling on. Jacob cried out, "All these things are against me." Boy, it became just his small battle, didn't it? Everything was turned against him. And we learned that God said, it's not just about you. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust, right? The sun's going to come up on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so everybody's going to have problems. Do you know anybody that is excluded from having to have problems? No, everybody's going to have problems. It's just we get this mindset that, and we teach this mindset that, okay, well, you have a good reason to give up. You have a good reason to be offended. Why don't you get you a sign and go and march? Why don't you go and do this because something hasn't went your way? You have been discriminated against because everything is just not turning up roses for you and nobody is handing you something on a silver platter. And I believe that that reinforces the sense to give up and the complacency that we have. Today I want to talk about what happens when we get to this obstacle in our life. Because at this point, we get to a problem. We begin to focus on that problem, and it becomes an obstacle that we never get over. As Grace stood up here this morning, he had a choice to give up at that point or to keep on keeping on. I outweigh Gray by probably a good 180 pounds, 170 pounds, maybe a little stronger than him, definitely bigger. Can cover more area quicker. He had every right in the world to give up, but he didn't give up. And that's what God wants us to do, no matter how big the obstacle is. You see, all this happens in our mind. It's a mental thing. It actually happens in our mind. In our mind, we reach an obstacle and we have to determine whether to stop or try to push through this problem, whether to pursue the end or give up. It's a crossroads that happens in our mind, and I see people at these crossroads all the time. And I hear things like, I just don't know how much more I can take. How much more is supposed to happen? How can all these things be? And look what's happened again. Immediately, I'm on guard for someone that is at a mental crossroads. Or maybe it's a crossroads in their mind where they say, well, you don't know what's happened to me. This has happened to me and this has happened to me. So I've made a decision since all this has happened that I'm not going any further in this. And that's their walk with God. I see people that have stopped their walk with God. They say, I'll just maintain. I'm staying right here. Bear in mind, our decision to give up or to keep on is a decision made in our mind. And our mind is continually trying to be influenced by two forces. One force is God and the other force is Satan. How many people know that? If you know that, raise your hand. So we're all knowing that. It's a continual battle. The unbeliever actually has no help at this crossroad until they cry out to God for help. And a lot of unbelievers cry out to God when they do hit this crossroad. Something has to happen to where they cannot figure it out and they are out of their strength and they look up to God and cry out to Him. But realize, and we do need to know, that if you're an unbeliever, then this is one of the benefits you do not have. The best thing you have is your own mind. Oh me. Your own mind. And your own mind maybe can come to a decision that may help or may not help, but you have no security. You have no kind of confidence in knowing that you can get through it. The Bible says that we have an opportunity to come to God and to be able to give our life to Him. When we give our life to Him, well, something amazing happens, that He gives His hand of provision, His hand of protection upon us, and He gives a purpose in life. He does this. This is the wonderful gift of salvation because He loves us. To the person here today who has never experienced salvation, let me tell you that God loves you in spite of what you've ever done in the past. Amen. And Jesus Christ died on a cross, shed His blood, His innocent blood. He had never sinned. He shed His blood so that you could have your sins forgiven, you could be a child of God, and you could come into the fold of God and be one of His protected children. Now, being His protected child does not mean that you're never going to have anything happen to you, but it does mean that when it happens to you, you will never go through it alone. And it means that He has a purpose for you, and it means that He has a joy for you. And you have an opportunity to reach that joy, or you have an opportunity to give up. And in our crossroads in life, we are met with a decision to give up or to keep on keeping on. And so today is a message of encouragement. It's a kick in the pants. It's an opportunity to know that we can't rest even in the bad things that happen, because some people have given up on their Christian walk without just the bad things happening to them. I'll explain later. So listen today as we go over the differences. You see, the Christian, you have this advantage. You are a child of God. God has a purpose for you, and He will use every adversity that you ever have in your life to strengthen you and help you achieve your purpose. I want you to tell the person beside of you, if you're a Christian, you have a purpose. Now, let me tell you this. Your purpose may not be where you work or what you're trying to achieve in this life. God has a purpose for you. It might be about the person you work with. It might be about the family that you have. It's about somebody you're coming in contact with, or something that you're going to do, or some part of the church family that you're involved in. But He has a purpose for you. Now, God's going to speak to you as to your purpose. As He strengthens you through your adversity, He'll speak to you in your crisis. He'll give you an opportunity to trust Him to deliver you. We all have that opportunity when something happens. What is it? It's an opportunity of faith, or it's an opportunity of doubt. How many people in here can say, there has been that crisis before that happened, and immediately I did not go to the faith first, I went to the doubt? It's a physical reaction. It's a mental reaction. It's our mind. You see, we have an opportunity to trust Him to deliver us, but the devil will try to destroy your joy and your confidence by tempting you to think that there is no need for you to have hope of finding any joy. He wants you to give up. The devil wants you to give up. He'll put an obstacle as big as me in front of Gray, and he'll want you to give up, because your mind will logically say, well, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and look at this thing, and it's bigger than I can get around. I'm not going to give up. When we say, I'm not going to give up, and we do that head fake, and we get around our problem, because God can get us around our problem, we have proved that the devil is once again a liar. And that is what he is. But God wants His children to persevere. I like that word, persevere. Say it with me. Persevere, to press on, to keep on keeping on. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I love this verse. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You say, what is God trying to say? God is trying to say, hey, persevere through the night. Persevere through the night. It's just for a season. Persevere through the night. Today, our text comes from Philippians chapter 3. Paul speaks on this problem that we all encounter. He speaks to it in the way that we need to hear. It's an encouraging way, but it's also a convicting way. When you find your place, say, I have it, Philippians 3. This word persevere, it's an interesting word. I like it, so I looked up the definition so that we could have the definition. This is what Webster says about persevere. Listen, to try hard and continually in spite of obstacles and difficulties. I tell you that, Webster. To try hard and continually in spite of obstacles and difficulties, that's to persevere. Right? If you break this word up into two parts, per and severe, I like to say it's to persist when situations become severe. To persevere. Last week when we talked about crisis, and when crisis comes to our life and how the devil wants us to become discouraged and give up, we were able to see that a lot of times we internalize that. And so we think it's all about us and we can't fight this battle. And like Jacob did, we think the whole world's against us. But we need to know that God wants us to persevere. God's instruction for us would not be to give up, but instead to press on, to keep on keeping on. Our text today in Philippians 3, Paul speaks to this and he speaks to the different ways that we're tempted to give up, but then he encourages us to press on. So in Philippians 3, I want to read to you just several verses, beginning with verse 12. If you read the first part of Philippians 3, which you need to go back and see, Paul is talking about his religious pedigree. He's saying, I was born a Jew. I was a part of the Pharisees. I was someone that taught the law. I was someone who learned the law. I'm well learned. I have every pedigree in the world. I could be Mr. Christian, Mr. Religious. I am close to God, but I can't depend on that. Also, he went through a lot of issues and problems. And so he's pulling all that together to make this huge statement that I think is great today. I want you to hear this because Paul is touching a point that we hardly ever talk about. Verse 12 through 14. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, who's he speaking to here? Christians, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. This man, Paul, gave this word of advice. He was giving it to some discouraged believers. He was giving it to some people who had hit adversity. They might not have been dealing with their own crisis. They were dealing with the crisis of others. Life had piled up on them, and they were at a point to where sometimes they just didn't think they could go on, and they felt like giving up. And he addressed two areas here. And he did it in his way. You see, as we read verse 12, we hear him say, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may have apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, let me break this down for you in a minute because this is beautiful. What Paul was saying was that he realized that being born as a Jew and being very religious, that still wasn't enough to make him perfect and complete to God. That's right. The same way you being a church member or your family being in church or you not being some kind of murderer, but hey, you went through some class in church and somewhere along the line you went to something and you participated and they confirmed you and gave you a certificate and said you're good to go because you've learned enough to do this, or maybe you've just said, I'm a good person. And that's what you're counting on. Paul says, I've realized something here. I realize that being born a Jew and being very religious is still wasn't enough to make him perfect and complete to God. He says, but I follow after. Do you see that? I follow after. That means he is continually pursuing something. What is pursuing? What is it? What is he pursuing? He is pursuing the purpose that God has for him. That's it. The purpose that God has for him. That is what you are supposed to pursue. Do you know that you have a purpose? Amen. Your purpose is something that you have to keep pursuing because the devil wants you to stop pursuing your purpose. What Paul was implying here is that Jesus died for him to give him salvation and eternal life, but Jesus saved him because he had a purpose for him. He had a purpose that he needed to pursue, even if during the journey of his life he had to face crisis and trials and troubles and different obstacles. What Paul was saying is that he's decided to press on through these trials and keep on keeping on, because if he didn't persevere, then he would never be able to fulfill the purpose that Jesus had for him. Here's a grave thought. Do you know how many millions and millions and millions and hundreds of millions of Christians will reach the end of their lives and they have never fulfilled their Christian purpose that God gave for them to them when he saved them? Do you believe that? Why? Because they stopped somewhere between their salvation and the realization of their salvation when they stood in front of Jesus. Something made them stop. Verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what that means? Simply, look, word picture. I haven't grasped it yet. I haven't got it yet. I haven't apprehended it. When we listen to them give the news report, they're saying there's a guy on the loose. We have not apprehended him. He has not come into our possession. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not saying that I've got it yet. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm not saying I'm where I need to be. That's Paul. I have not yet taken hold of what it is that God has for me. I have not yet completed the purpose that God has for me. But here it comes. I want you to listen to one of the best pieces of information in the Bible. And it's tucked in here. We never look at it. This is great. He said, this one thing I do. Are you ready for it? Now listen, Paul gives one piece of advice. So I'm not asking you to remember a chapter of the Bible today. I'm not asking you to remember anything except one piece of advice that Paul's going to give for you as a Christian. How many Christians in this room? How many people have had obstacles in their life? How many people have been Christians for a while? And you faced a point in your mind where you want to give up, right? One piece of advice that will change things. Are you ready? He said, this one thing I do. He set it up nicely. You ready? Listen to the one thing. This is what we're going to do in order to keep on keeping on until God fulfills his purpose in me. Here it is. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. One verse. One sentence. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Is that important? Let me tell you how important it is. I want you to listen to this advice from Paul. Paul is saying, this is what I have to do in order to sanctify myself to the purpose that the Lord has for me. And this is what you have to do, this one thing. I want to start, number one, by saying, Paul is saying we have to forget those things that are in my past. First thing you have to do. So somebody is saying, okay, forget those things that are in my past. I want to put a little twist to it. He's not saying for you to forget the things that are in your past that are just bad. He's saying forget the things that are good and bad. What do you mean, Pastor? What he's saying is we can't dwell in our past failures or our past accomplishments. Now hold on a second. We can't dwell on the past failures or the past accomplishments. I want to talk about this a minute. You see, if we're going to persevere, we can't count on how many religious things we've done in the past. Or our religious pedigree. It's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Paul says, I'm a Jew. I have known and have been a student and a teacher of the law of God. But listen, that doesn't help me with my obstacle here. I was a part of the most prestigious religious group, the Pharisees. But that has nothing to do with what God has for me to do today or tomorrow or the next day. That was in the past. Paul is saying, I have to forget what I've done and I have to reach forth. Without hitting the person in front of you, I want you to reach forth this way. Reach forth. That's what's in front of us, right? If I keep dwelling on everything that I've done back here, I won't reach forth. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, is this a big deal? Guys, let me tell you, as a pastor, this is a bigger problem than people dwelling on their past failures. They're dwelling on their past accomplishments. So they've hit a point to where they're saying, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. I'm good right here. Well, it's not a coincidence that God leads me to give this service right before summertime and all the chances to volunteer and to work and for the kids and for the mission and for the youth. Yeah, why? Because a lot of us have hit a point to where, hey, we've got this pedigree in our past. We're good right here. We don't need to do this other. We get to that point, don't we? We give up on our mission. We give up on our purpose. You see, Paul is saying, I have to keep reaching forth. I have to keep on keeping on to see what it is that's ahead of me. I haven't apprehended it yet. I can't rest in the fact of what I've done. I have to keep on looking for what I'm going to get to do. You see, have done is past, going to do is future. Have done is past, going to do is future. You see, it doesn't matter if we've been to church for a long time or taught Sunday school or maybe we've sang in the choir. We've been a deacon or we've been someone who's served in some role in the church or served outside of the church as a missionary or evangelist or devotion leader at a workplace. All that's great. God wants you to do all those things. But I can't stop there and say I've done these things that God's wanted me to do and that was my purpose. What we have to do is put those things also behind us and reach forth. Amen. I'm glad you've done those things. It's changed lives. What's going to happen today? What are you going to do tomorrow? Paul says, I have not yet apprehended his purpose for me. He gave me another breath today. He gave me another purpose today, right? Put those things behind and reach forth. What we have to do is look forward to the things that God has for us to do and keep looking for the things that God wants to show us. If we get to the point to saying, all this good things and all my good service is behind me, you're not going to see God move in anybody's life around you. Why? Because you've stopped looking. You're staying right here. You're not reaching forth. You see, these kind of people that are in this place of giving up are convinced in their mind to give up on their purpose because their past service to God. This is what happens to so many Christians today. They have in their mind this list of things that they've done for God and this list of spiritual experiences that they've had, and they rest in the fact that they've contributed to God's cause, so they stop reaching forth. They stop looking for what God has purposed for them to do in the days ahead. When this happens, complacency sets in and their fellowship with God is fractured and the infection of discouragement sets in and they begin to have no purpose in their Christian walk except to maintain their position with God based on their past position with God. Amen. You say, can this happen to anybody? It happened to a man after God's own heart, David. David walked with God, saw God kill giants in front of him, saw God deliver him from things. He was so overwhelmed with emotion. He danced in front of God. He brought the presence of God into Jerusalem in the Ark of the Covenant. He was God's man. He was the king, but he rested on his laurels and said, look at these things I've done. I think I'll stay home and I'll let everybody else do this and I'm going to take me some time just to say, hey, look what I've done. Guess what? He ended up complacent at his home and sin crept in. And when he was complacent, not going out, reaching forth, what happened is he was depending on his past. Sin crept in, discouragement crept in. Before long, he was sinning with Bathsheba. He was discouraged. He was at the lowest low he could ever be because he stopped reaching forth. Amen. It's like we're choosing a time to retire on God. Or either we're taking this big break from God because something else has come up in our lives. Pastor Mike, you don't understand. My kids are at this age. You don't understand. My job is doing this. I don't have to understand. Do you think God understands? Do you think you can stay close to Him when you barely come and worship Him? Do you think you can stay close to Him when you choose sporadically to read your Bible and you fit a prayer in every now and then? Do you think you can stay close to Him? I can't. There is no way. But there is a big thing in my mind that says, hey, you know what you've done for Him? You're good. It's in my mind. I'm just being honest with you. Isn't it in yours? If you don't do nothing else today, you've had a pretty good run. That's a lie straight from the devil. You know what I'm doing? I'm resting in my past. Guess what that gets me to do? Stop. It makes me want to stop. Paul says you have to press on, you have to reach forth, you have to keep on keeping on. You see, when people hit this area in their life, it happens to Christians. They begin to say, I've done my part. Let someone else do it. I can remember, even in the time that we've had here, I can remember we have some deacon elections sometimes. Deacon elections come in the summer. The worst thing I hate to hear somebody say, well, you know, I've served, and you know, I'm going to let somebody else have a chance to serve. What a vain statement. As if, okay, you know, I would be there, but I'm going to let somebody else have a chance to do it. Or, yeah, these people need to participate. Hey, I've been teaching for a while. I'm going to let this other person talk. I taught last year at VBS. So I'm going to let somebody else a chance. Well, good for you. Thank you for being so nice. You must think a whole lot of yourself. It's what God is saying. Yeah, you've stopped. You stop reaching forth. You're going to give somebody else a chance. How nice of you. God doesn't ask you to give somebody else a chance to serve. He asks you to serve. He asks you to keep pursuing. He asks you to press on. He asks you to keep on keeping on. It's not in you to stop so somebody else can maybe meekly slide in and take a position where they can be blessed. Amen. Think about what you're saying. Amen. He's telling us to press on. He's saying there's people that need to be taught. Well, I've taught. I'm going to let somebody else teach it. Please give me a problem as a pastor of having too many people that want to teach. Please give me that problem. Right. Maybe they become less faithful to even come and hear the word preacher, less faithful to worship because there's a sense that they know that they had a strong relationship with the Lord before and they learned a lot of Bible verses and they've heard some great preachers preach and they were raised in a good Christian family. So they feel like they've already experienced the best of what God had for them. So they stop reaching forth to learn and experience more. Guys, this is epidemic. This happens to Christians everywhere. Let's be honest. It's happened to some of you, and it's happening to you right now. You say, how do you know? I don't know. I just know God has me preach what He wants me to preach, and I know it's happened to me before. We keep pressing on because we're dwelling in our past accomplishment, not failures. What happens when this happens? Well, those people become a spectator. Somebody else will teach that class. Somebody else will watch children's church. Somebody else will serve in the nursery. I've done my part. I've got years of service in here. Somebody else will be an usher. Somebody else will come to church. I won't be there today. Somebody else will do it. Spectator. What are you spectating? Well, see, you're supposed to be running the race, not being a spectator.
That's right.
So that's what Paul's going to say later on. He's like, run the race, not be a spectator. In the same way, we're instructed that we also can't focus on our past failure. I've got failures in my past. If I begin to focus on those failures, I'm not going to reach forth. Why? Well, they're sort of depressing. They're hardships. If I start thinking about them, remember what Jacob started thinking about? Jacob started thinking about everything that went wrong with him. If I start focusing on the failures, I won't want to go on, will I? We encounter disappointments, don't we? We encounter crisis. These crises sometimes makes us stop reaching forth to get what God wants us to experience and do what God wants us to do. When this happens, we'll stop pursuing the purpose that He has for us. We'll start thinking that we'll fail at it, so we just don't even press on. We'll start thinking that we're just setting ourselves up for heartache and disappointment again, so we'll choose not to look forward to what God has for us. This is one of the most common ways that the devil discourages people in their mind from pursuing the purpose that God has for them. See, Paul knew if he focused on the disappointments and the unexpected dilemma that he had faced, it would make him not want to press on you. What do you mean Paul knew? If you went to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you read a couple of verses, maybe read verses 24 through 30 sometime, but not right now. You'll learn Paul had been beaten more, whipped more, taken more stripes, imprisoned more, shipwrecked more. Paul had some bad days, pal. Bad days. Days that make you want to give up. You know what Paul said? Press on. Press on, right? Keep on keeping on. Yes, I've had some bad days. I'm not going to dwell. He said, remember, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm forgetting everything that I've done good because it'll make me stop. And I'm forgetting all those heartaches because it'll make me stop. What do I have to do? Reach forth. How big of a piece of advice is that? I think it's huge. Paul continues to write. You know, he gets to a point in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Paul knew that if he focused on his disappointments and his unexpected dilemmas, that it'd make him want to not press on. Instead of focusing on these, Paul said, I'm going to forget them. I'm not going to think about them. I'm not going to use them for a point of fear or doubt to keep me from going forward. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep on keeping on. He's saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Basically, what Paul is saying is, I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by my past accomplishments or my past failures. I'm not going to rely on my past accomplishments. I'm not going to dwell on my past failures and disappointments. I'm going to press on. Hebrews 11, if you ever read Hebrews 11, you'll see a chapter which is the roll call for those of faith. It starts with Abraham. It goes all the way down through. We talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Ruth. Ruth. Boy, Ruth persevered, didn't she? None of those things. She thought she was in good shape when she married her husband. He died. Then the families, all the patriarchs in the family died. Then she was left with Naomi. They were out of country. She went back to a foreign country. Here she was begging for food in the corner of a field, but she kept on keeping on. She pressed on. She pressed on. She pressed on, and she made the best with what she had. When life gave her lemons, she made lemonade, right? And she kept on keeping on. She didn't dwell with everything bad that had happened and want to give up. She was encouraged, even when those around her, Mara. That's what Naomi said, call me Mara. That means bitter. Even when those around her that should have been encouraging her got bitter, she kept on keeping on. Let me tell you something. Ruth is one of the most celebrated women in the Bible because she kept on keeping on. And God blessed her with her favor. And she became one of the people that God ran his line through to get to Jesus. The man side of it. The human side of it. Boy, she was honored. Paul said in Hebrews, after he talked about all these people in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul said this. Listen to these words. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, also who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You hear that? In your minds. In your minds. We quit in our minds, and then our body does the rest. Awesome passage of Scripture, because as Paul is saying, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. We need to understand this weight, this sin, is the sin of not wanting to keep on keeping on for God. It's the sin of complacency. It's the sin of not pursuing God's purpose for us. It's the sin of dwelling on our past failures and disappointments. It's the sin of thinking that we've done all that we need to do and we don't have it in us to do anymore. These are all thoughts that are weighting us down and making us want to give up and not run the Christian race. It's not a particular sin that's weighing you down. It's the sin of stopping to run. That's what he's talking about here, running. You can't stop running. Have you reached your finish line?
No.
If you are, then this is your heaven. Okay? Hope you like it. Not what I'm expecting. I like you guys and all, but I'm still seeing that we are having difficulties making things work out here. I'd rather be in a place that God's prepared for us that has no sin, right? That has no problems, no heartache, right? So this is not it. This is not your euphoria, your utopia. This is not heaven. You have not stopped. So if you haven't got to the finish line, what do you need to keep doing in your race?
Running,
right? Isn't that what Forrest said? We need to keep running. Stop being a spectator.
Amen.
What's the weight? My weight is that I'm not forgetting all the things behind me, either my accomplishments or my failure, so I get to a point of being discouraged. Notice he says these things easily beset us too. It's not hard for these things to happen. It's easy for us to get discouraged in our mind. We want to stop. So we have to purposefully put them out of our mind, put them behind us. Remember, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Forgetting means putting them out of your mind because they're going to weigh you down to the point of making you not want to run. You see, to run means to keep moving, keep pursuing, keep moving forward. To run with patience means to persevere. The race that's set before us, this is our Christian journey. Notice it's always in front of us. The race is set in front of us. The race in front of us, in front of us. Not the race behind us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why are we looking to him? He's our example. Why? Jesus didn't give up. I would say he hit some adversity, wouldn't you? Hated in your own town. Bear in mind, you've never sinned, and you know that you've never sinned. You're hated in your own town. The people don't believe you. They're trying to run you out of here and run you out of there. You've got the religious system against you. They trump up all these charges with you. Your best friends desert you. You're going to have to die for people that hate you. I'd say he had every chance to give up, but he chose to press on. You say, how'd that work out for him? Well, if you read the end of that, he said, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd say it worked out good for him, right?
Amen.
Why? Because he pressed on. He didn't give up. He had a race to run, and he ran it. I look through the Bible, and I see the testimonies of Ruth and Daniel, Joseph, Abraham, and Moses, and Paul. Those people never chose to give up. They had some bad days. They had some stuff happen to them. They didn't give up. Praise God they didn't give up.
Amen.
And we keep pressing on. We can do this if we can be intentional to put the things that have happened behind us and keep reaching forth. If we can know that we have to endure what we're going through right now so that we can get to the place of joy. We have to know that if we accepted Jesus as our Savior, he has a purpose for us. He will also allow hardship to come into our lives and come into our journey that we'll have to endure. But this purpose for us is to let us persevere and look to him for our strength. Paul made another statement later on in the Bible. He said, God, I've got this bad problem. I need you to get rid of it. It's making it hard for me to go through life. And you know what God's answer is? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Amen.
He says, Paul, you'll forget how strong I am until you get weak. And later on, if you read that passage of Scripture, Paul made this statement. Hey, I've realized when I am weak, that's when I'm strong.
Amen.
I'm going to close with a scripture. I have to read it all the time and I have to remind myself. On a regular basis, God allows me to see death and dilemma, crisis and heartache, and I hurt for the people that I see hurting. And I can't answer all the questions that somebody asks me about why. I don't know why. I don't know why that crisis is in your life. I don't know why a crisis comes into my life. All I know is that God said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I know we have a purpose for God. And I have to go back to this verse so that I can keep encouraging and so that I can know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, there is no temptation taken you. That temptation means testing. It means you're not going through anything but such is common to man. And then it says this, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear.
Amen.
But will with that temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
I watch this continually. Continually. Because you're going to get to a point, a crossroads in your mind, where you're going to think about some of the things I'm telling you today. They're not things I came up with. I'm just repeating what Paul said. And you'll want to give up because of what you've already done, accomplishments, or because the bad things that have happened to you, the devil will use either one. You need to be on guard for that. And you need to come to God today and ask Him to give you that strength to get through. If you're not a Christian today, you can't really have what I'm talking about until you fall on your knees and you ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and tell Him you believe in Him. You'll make Him Lord of your life and you'll live for Him. You will be in God's lap, in God's provision today. He'll save you. For Christian today, have you been at this crossroads? Are you at this crossroads now? You will be at this crossroads sometime in your life. Come and talk to God about it, if you will. Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for teaching us about persevering and keeping on. I thank You, Lord, for someone like Paul who lived it and can bear witness of it. I pray, God, today, if there's anyone in this room that is not sure of their salvation, they will accept Your salvation today and have the boldness to step forth, Lord, and kneel down before You and pray. I pray, God, today for every Christian in this room, Lord, that You would show us ourselves today. Lord, show us where we're at in our mind, where we're at in our life for You, in our race for You. God, listen to the prayers of Your children as they bow before You today. In Jesus' name, amen.